Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello.
Are you receiving me, Snaresbrook?
Loud and clear.
We're doing this remotely, but neither of us have COVID.
No.
What's going on?
Well, I couldn't go out because I didn't have a babysitter.
Could you not tether him to something?
My son?
Yes.
Oh, is that legal?
I don't know if it's... maybe it's frowned upon.
Yeah, frowned... Okay, not illegal, but frowned upon.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I think you probably need to do it a few times to have your kid removed.
Oh, that's a good attitude.
I can't imagine it's a one strike and you're out.
I don't know.
Before you came on the call, I was just reading about Pluto. So these strange lumps on the surface of Pluto have been identified by scientists as a cluster of ice volcanoes.
Oh, exciting.
I just think you've got to hand it to Pluto. It's really upped its game.
Yeah, since it nearly got kicked out.
Well, it did get kicked out. I mean, this is the point.
I thought it got back in again.
No, it got downgraded in 2006 from being a planet. And that was a bitter blow. And a lot of people would never come back from that. But Pluto has been thinking, okay, got to reinvent ourselves here. And... It's really pulled itself together and come back with something, I think, spectacular.
Yeah, an ice volcano. Yes, it probably will get back in again now.
Yeah. This is like the Beach Boys when they came back with Kokomo in the 80s.
Right.
Everybody thought the Beach Boys, they were just a fun bunch of guys with surfboards from the 60s. But there they were in the late 80s in that Tom Cruise film, Cocktail. Thinking, ooh, I want to take you to Kila. No, you're not going to join in?
I don't really remember this, I have to say.
You don't remember Kokomo?
No, I don't. Is it good?
Well, I think it was a number one.
Okay.
The public voted with their purses.
Mm-mm.
Whether it's good or not is immaterial. I don't know. I can't tell whether it's good. I never used to think it was good. And then more recently, because things remind me of being young, I have a certain affection for them, which... I think clouds my judgment somewhat.
Right, yeah.
If I'd been I don't know what it is, the Astronomical Society, who is the governing body for planets?
Yes, the Astronomical Society. The Royal Astronomical Society, that's the one, yeah.
I guess that's not international, though.
Oh, true, yeah.
Yeah. I would never have downgraded Pluto.
I think it was a big mistake. I don't know why they did it.
I just imagine it's a lot of effort then having to change all the textbooks and wall charts and those models of planets with the sun in the middle and then the rest going round on little wires. Although it's the one on the furthest out, so you're just taking that one out. It probably doesn't make it that much of a difference.
Was there an outcry? Because they should have been, and I don't remember. Because you're right, I didn't think about them having to change textbooks. That's quite major, isn't it?
I remember feeling upset by it.
Right. But no more than that.
Yeah. Do you think the cluster of ice volcanoes would make you more or less likely to visit Pluto?
Well, I'm trying to think about ice volcano, and in my head it's spurting ice rather than like molten lava.
Yeah.
And that's kind of exciting to me.
But would you go? It's a long way.
How long would it take me, do you think?
I don't know. I just think my brother is constantly talking about how he'd like to be one of the first people to colonize Mars.
Right.
I think he feels like his life has so little going on. He wouldn't mind getting on a rocket ship and never seeing anybody he has any connection to ever again. I think that's his general attitude. Whereas I think there's nothing there, really.
There's nothing to look at.
I've seen pictures come back from that rover. And I mean, I can barely tolerate the countryside.
You're not going to like Mars, then, I tell you. No. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
No TV.
No. At least the countryside has like pub lunches and things. But, yeah, I don't think it would be for me, Mars. I think maybe like part of the appeal, and you see this a lot with the tech entrepreneurs, it's being amongst the first people to colonize Mars. I think that appeals.
Right, making history.
But this is my point, is that you wouldn't be making history.
Why not?
Because I think the first person, if you're the first one out of the capsule, you're making history.
Right.
I think the second person out of the capsule, maybe, it helps if you've got a funny name. I think Buzz Aldrin. Yeah. But I think a lot of people would struggle with the other guy, Michael Collins.
Right, well, I'm glad you said it, because most people are thinking, what was that third one called? Yeah.
So if the third person on the first manned mission to the moon is barely remembered by the bulk of people, you're not really making history unless you're the first person to set foot on. If you're number 11, who cares?
Yeah, that's a very good point. No one's going to remember past the first one and maybe second one.
No, unless you were the first person to do ... on Mars. I think with my brother, it might be the first person to commit an act of onanism, to spill his own seed on Mars.
You don't want to go down in history for that.
I think he wouldn't mind.
Oh, okay.
Although, where would you get your inspiration from? The landscape? Not really. It's not like there's any ice volcanoes.
Whose thing is ice volcanoes?
Oh, I don't know.
Someone somewhere.
Yes. Sarah woke me up yesterday morning to tell me about the Oscars thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She couldn't wait for me to wake up on my own accord. She had to come and rouse me from my slumber. She was so excited by the whole thing.
Right, and did you have time to formulate an opinion?
Well, this is the thing, you know. I don't think... I'm terrified of having an opinion now.
Right, in case it's the wrong one.
Well, I've seen every opinion has been decried.
Oh, right. Okay, so there's no right opinion.
I also think I'm nearly 50. What business have I got having an opinion?
Oh, is that how it works? Brilliant.
I just think the world moves on. That's how it's been, you know, I don't know, the last 60 or 70 years. You know, the youth get to decide the social norms and opinions on things, and you just get left being an old fuddy-duddy at some point. So I've just decided to stop having an opinion on things.
God, what a tremendous relief. I feel like it's a great weight off my shoulders. I don't have to have an opinion.
Yeah, I think it is. It's freeing up so much time for me, not having to... I will say the one thing I thought is that it's interesting to me that it was a slap.
Yes. That didn't escape me. Yeah, interesting.
So I have never had the impulse to be physically violent towards somebody. I know you have, but I don't have it in me. I never want to hit it. You know, I think about hiring a hitman and having someone taken out.
You've got the bloodlust, but
will of your body to do it. Yeah, I don't have any sort of violent, physically violent impulses. And then I think if I did get a hitman, something would go wrong. You know, there'd be something in the interaction with the hitman where they'd just take my money and then not do the job, or I'd accidentally end up with a hit taken out on myself, or it'd be an undercover police. You know, these kinds of things. So, I don't sort of have that feeling of wanting to commit an act of violence ever, really. But I think it's quite something to have the restraint to not throw a punch. Just think, okay, I'm going to be restrained here. I'm just going to go in for the slap. rather than the punch. But not the restraint to walk up onto the stage and do that on TV.
Interesting.
That's all I've got to say about it.
Okay.
There's nothing nothing in the way of an opinion there. It's just an observation. I wouldn't dare have an opinion.
Good. Thank goodness. I hate opinions.
Yeah. It's a shame that the slap wasn't accompanied by its traditional bedfellow, the tickle.
That would have been the perfect end. Why did you do that?
I'll tell you who the worst people are.
Who?
The people who upload videos to YouTube saying Oscars 2022, and then it's not really the Oscars, it's somebody doing commentary and using bits of music and then showing a 3-second clip. Like, trying to find the actual thing, it's really hard. I think they're the real villains in all this.
Of everyone, it's them that we should be directing our fury at.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Was that an opinion?
It got dangerously close.
Okay. I went to see an Oscar-nominated film last night.
Oh, which one?
The Worst Person in the World.
Tell me about that.
It's a Norwegian film. It was nominated for Best International Film. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure. And then by the last sort of third or last quarter, I thought, oh, no, this is extraordinarily good. I won't give any spoilers. If people like my endorsement, go and see it. If you don't, then look it up yourself. But I tell you what, the queue was so long for refreshments. Do you know what I wish my superpower was?
What's that?
Being able to look down a queue to the person at the till in such a way that makes them want to ring a button to get another cashier to come out of wherever they are.
Oh, yes. That would be a glorious superpower.
What are they all doing in there that when a bell rings, they've just got an inexhaustible supply of people to come and work on the cash registers, but only if somebody deems to ring a bell?
Everyone's on their break, aren't they?
It's a lot. I used to always think that. I mean, I tend not to be in the bank that much these days, but you'd have one cashier open and then you'd see them all in the back and you couldn't really tell what they were doing. But I'm thinking, whatever they're doing, I think probably they'd be best deployed coming and sorting out this line of 109 people. But what do I know?
Well, because I'm thinking, are they pretending to do something because they don't want to? Didn't we speak to someone once that they quite often pull their thing down when they've had enough? Like, I'm sure it's
that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That's might always been my suspicion. I might get a bell sound effect on my phone.
A bell? Why?
For the next time I'm in a supermarket or in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I want a new cashier to come. I can, instead of just waiting for them to press the button,
you can
get it on my phone. Like Pavlov's supermarket attendance. All right, Annabelle, let's hear from the drifters.
First one is from Lara. Last week was not one of my finest moments. I went to pick up some hi-fi equipment from a lovely older couple, only to lock my keys in my car immediately upon arrival. Worse, my phone was in the car, so I had to use both their phone and computer to find the number for my insurance provider.
Oh, no.
Thus followed two very awkward hours where I desperately tried to think of things to say while the breakdown took their sweet time arriving.
Oh, no.
When he finally did turn up, I bid a hasty goodbye and many thank yous. However, the breakdown guy thought I needed a tow and so didn't have the gear to open the car, so he had to drive back to his garage to get it. I had to sheepishly wait outside another 5 minutes before the couple invited me inside again for another 30-minute wait. I wanted to die.
Oh, I would have asked the AA man or whatever he was to text me when he was 5 minutes away and I would have just gone for a long walk.
I would have said, can I come with you? I'll just hide in the back. Yeah. Anything would be better than having to go back in after 2 hours.
Oh, Lara, that is excruciating.
Okay, this is from Jules. I've had two of my woeful tales read out before. The one where a builder ate coronation chicken off a spoon I was holding instead of taking it from me. And one when I was on work experience and typed shite instead of white in an error on a director's document. On your podcast Malfunction Message this week, Jeff mentioned the band Kraftwerk, and this brought an excruciating flashback of a night in 2017, so I'm sharing yet another cringe fest. I am a new romantic and always have been a huge fan of late 70s, early 80s electronic music, Human League, Depeche Mode, Flock of Seagulls, etc. My husband managed to get tickets for us to see Kraftwerk's 3D show at the Royal Albert Hall for my birthday. I had never seen them before live. We don't get away much due to caring for our disabled sons. This was a big deal and our first trip without kids for over 2 years. I was so excited and even bought a new outfit to wear and booked a hotel for the night. My husband went online the minute tickets went on sale. They sold out so fast that the only tickets available were at the very top of the building. No seats, just standing. We had to walk up lots of steps in the summer heat, and it was so hot that the person next to us had an epileptic fit and had to be taken away by paramedics before the show had even started.
Wow, I didn't know that was a thing. No. I mean, I know an epileptic fit is a thing. I didn't know a heat-induced one was.
Mm-mm. The 3D show was amazing, but we had to traipse down upteen stairs again to leave. We were staying quite a distance from the gig and soon lost the crowd that had been to the event. What with all the steps and now walking along the empty road, I was getting pretty tired. Despite wearing comfortable footwear, flat boots, my feet had had enough for one night. No buses seemed to be going near our accommodation, so I attempted to hail a black cab. There were taxis coming along with their lights on, indicating they were available. But despite putting my arm up, none were stopping. I couldn't fathom why this was. Then suddenly I realised. She's a model and she's looking good. I'd like to take her home, that's understood. Our Kraftwerk lyrics. As it turns out, I was not looking as good as I thought I was and no taxi wanted to take me home. When I go to events, I like to dress up to really feel in the spirit of it. I'd never been to a Kraftwerk gig before, but just as Bay City Rollers fans dress in tartan or brossettes wear Grolsch bottle tops on their bootlaces, I had assumed Kraftwerk fans would dress up. Apparently not. Nope. Just me. The new outfit I had ordered was a red shirt and black tie to look like the cover of Kraftwerk's Man Machine album.
Right.
To my horror, as all the other Kraftwerk fans had dispersed, standing at the side of the road in the dark early hours, putting my arm up to hail a cab made me look like a lost member of Hitler Youth doing a Nazi salute. My knee-high black boots and bleached blonde hair probably just added more to the aerial fuel to this already raging inferno of a look. This could explain why a number of available cabs had sailed past. Once my terrible couture choice had suddenly dawned on me in a public place, I felt so awful that throwing myself under a juggernaut on the nearest autobahn would have been a relief. As it was so hot, I had no jacket to cover up, so I hid in shame behind a bus shelter and got my husband, sensibly dressed, to hail a cab. Eventually one stopped. I then stepped out from behind the bus shelter and quickly got into the taxi. No eye contact with the driver and let my husband do the talking. If you ever want zero conversation from a cabbie, then this is the outfit for you, as it guarantees a quiet ride. I felt absolutely mortified. In my excitement to see the band and join the spirit of the night, it hadn't occurred to me why nobody else had dressed up. I never wore the outfit again.
Wow. I'd love to hear some cab drivers get in touch. Is that part of the code? You don't pick up people dressed in some kind of neo-modernist Nazi garb?
I'd be interested
to
know.
You'd hope so, but I'm surprised it was so identifiable at speed. Let's have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
Things that I don't know the difference between. This is all the things I think I probably should know the difference between. And I should say here, these are things that I could probably try and find out, but some crucial lack of interest is missing from my brain, so I don't bother. But also because I kind of think, I don't think anyone really knows. So here goes. Here's the first one.
Yep.
Crocodile and alligator. I don't know. Does anybody really know outside of David Attenborough?
Probably not.
As far as I can see, same thing, two different names. And if they're not the same thing, I think we can lump them together, like, under just one name, can't we? Like, Crocodile is the most dominant one, because we've got Crocodile Dundee, Crocs, Crocodile Rock, and Crocodile Tears. Whereas what has Alligator got? Just See You Later, Alligator. And then Crocodile gets in there anyway with In a Wild Crocodile.
Yeah.
Maybe Gatorade, you know, that loosely ties in. But anyway, I don't know the difference. Probably should. They're probably very distinct, and people are now in uproar that I'm suggesting to lump them all under Crocodile. Sorry.
I've got alligators in Florida in the Everglades and crocodiles everywhere else.
Okay, you're right. Well, I'm sure that's right.
Yeah.
Next one.
Yeah.
Satsuma, Clementine, Mandarin, Tangerine, Easy Peeler.
Yeah.
Five names for what seems to be exactly the same thing.
Yes.
I could be persuaded that an Easy Peeler is different. And it is notable for, I believe, being the only food named after how easy it is to prepare, which is a shame. And after my crocodile alligator campaign, I will consider doing one to create more foods named like Easy Peelers. Like perhaps get the butternut squash called a hellishly difficult peeler and chopper. Much, much better name. You know what you're getting then, don't you? There's no like nasty surprise when you get it home. But apart from the Easy Peeler, which claims to be easy to peel, so I'm guessing, and I've got no idea here, but I'm guessing maybe it's been bred to have a looser skin or something. I don't know.
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
But these other ones, Satsuma, Clementine, Mandarin, Tangerine, shall I tell you what I call them all? Little oranges. And that will do. Okay, next. Petrol, gasoline and diesel. I don't know. I do know there's definitely a difference between petrol and diesel, as I've been to a petrol pump and they wouldn't come from two different nozzles if they were the same. And also I once saw a hire car and it had the word petrol written on the petrol cap thing, which puzzled me because I thought, well, if you can drive, you should automatically know what that little circle is for on the side of the car. But then someone explained to me it so they know it's petrol, not diesel. So I know there is a difference, but what it is... Honestly, I couldn't even hazard a guess.
No, I have had a bad experience with it. I once filled up a boat with the wrong one.
A boat? Was it your super yacht?
It was a boat I'd rented. And I went to a boat petrol station and then sort of got 200 or 300 metres out to sea. And the engine started doing something quite peculiar. And a kindly man who was out fishing with his son had to tow us back. We had to abandon this boat and then pay hundreds of pounds to have whichever one we put in by mistake siphoned out.
Why are there two different ones then? Like, why? Let's just pick one and stick to it. One that I didn't know, but I did feel ashamed enough to Google, is Holland and the Netherlands, because I sort of thought they're the same. As it turns out, they're not. And it also made me realise, and this is even more shameful, that I didn't know the difference between United Kingdom, Great Britain and the British Isles. I'm 47. This is my country. How can I not? I do now. I know it now. But I'm very ashamed that I didn't know that before.
See, I could hazard a guess, but I'm not 100% sure that I get it right. So
do you want to do it?
So I think Great Britain is what you might think of as the mainland.
Right.
Sort of England, Scotland and Wales.
Right.
I think the British Isles might be all the islands, including Great Britain, the island of Ireland, Channel Islands, Isle of Man and the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And then the United Kingdom is the component countries.
England...
Scotland,
Northern
Wales,
Ireland, Northern Scotland, Ireland. Wales.
Yeah,
you're right.
Oh, well, that's good.
You're right. That's a relief.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact, though, that you're one of the cleverest people I know and you weren't even sure.
British Isles has maybe fallen out of favour as an expression.
Yes, but that's like the Republic of Ireland, like everything.
Yes.
Very interesting. Okay, last one. Olive oil, virgin olive oil and extra virgin olive oil.
All the same thing.
I know there's a difference because the extra virgin one is fancier and more expensive, but why?
But try finding olive oil that's just a normal amount of virgin.
It's almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
You either get olive oil or extra virgin.
Yeah.
Why is there no virgin in the middle?
Yes.
There isn't.
No.
And it doesn't make sense that, because why is there extra? Like, either you're a virgin or you're not. We don't talk about Anne Widdecombe being a virgin and Mother Teresa being extra virgin. Like, it's not a thing, is it? Anyway,
is it about how many bases it's been to?
Oh, no. Anyway, don't email me about the differences of any of these. Petrol, diesel, crocodile, alligator. I'm not. If I wanted to know, I'd look it up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think I live a somewhat joyless existence.
Oh, Jeff, you can't start a sentence with that. It's too depressing.
But I'll tell you what I've noticed has brought me an increasing amount of pleasure in recent years.
Mm.
The local shop that I go to, I have a coupon and they stamp it every time I spend £10. And I think every time I spend £100, I get £5 off.
Oh, that's nice.
And I really, you know, I really love my coupon and I never forget to get it out of my wallet when I'm paying.
Mm.
And I can't tell whether I should just be pleased that such a small thing is bringing me pleasure or if I'm turning into a pensioner prematurely.
It's when you start getting lots of different ones out of an envelope from your bag, yeah, from your handbag.
I'm not cutting coupons out yet.
No.
It's just they give you, it's like a little loyalty card.
Yes. I love a loyalty card. Who doesn't?
Yeah. I really, really love it. But I am quite worried that I'm turning into my nan with a Co-op stamp book. A cousin of mine sent me a DVD of my nan's 80th birthday party.
No.
Which was in 1988.
Oh, wow.
And it's odd because I don't remember there being a video camera. Like, they were very exotic objects. The only time I remember seeing one in the wild was there was a coupon, actually, in the Macclesfield Express to get a day's free hire of a video camera from Radio Rentals. And me and Eddie from next door rented it and recorded ourselves playing music and doing sketches loosely based on Neighbours.
Oh, would love to see that.
I've asked him for it loads of times and I think he's either suppressing it because it's compromat or it's you know, been lost or destroyed over time. But I remember pulling all the tape out of a C90 and making a Max Ramsey wig out of it.
This is the great lost tape. Like, forget about Doctor Who. This is the greatest.
Anyway, the reason I mentioned this is, so it was very odd because, you know, video cameras were expensive items back then, and it's very surprising to me that somebody in my family managed to get hold of one. And it's interesting because, you know, like we all, I think part of what we talk about on this podcast a lot is having these memories of yourself and feeling a bit cringy or embarrassed, and maybe something that happened 30 years ago, you'll just be going about your business and then you go, oh God, why was I such an idiot then? And, you know, you carry all this sort of weird shame and embarrassment with you as a drifter.
Mm.
So I've had it in my head that maybe if I could see some film of myself, I'd be a bit more forgiving and like myself a bit more, and it'd release me from some of that.
Yeah.
So what was interesting was to get this video of my nan's 80th, and I was DJing there.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't really have any memory of, but there I am behind the decks. And there's something on it that I completely forgot, which is when it was time for everybody to sing Happy Birthday, I had a record with the Happy Birthday song on it, played on a piano, all queued up, ready to go. And at the appointed moment, I pressed start. I had the record player at the wrong speed and then had to adjust it straight away. So it started slow, then went really fast. So nobody could tell. The pitch adjusts so dramatically that nobody could tell which key it was in. Everybody came in at the wrong time. They were singing the wrong key. They got lost. And what is incredible to me is now I have a memory that I'd completely either forgotten or suppressed.
Oh, no.
That now I've got another one to add to the pile of memories.
Yeah.
That I'll get anxiety pangs about.
Never go back.
No. The other thing I was going to mention, and there's it's a little bit of kids say the funniest things, but hopefully we can get through that together as a team. So Jean has joined the RSPB, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds.
Lovely.
And he's really into it. He tried to pay for something with his membership card at the aforementioned shop the other day. Don't know if he's seen me with my coupon or whatever it is. He's also got some kind of voucher that admits a guest into some RSPB wetlands of his site of his choosing. Mm-hmm. And the way he is wielding that.
Oh, really?
Like he's got front row tickets to something and whoever is going to please him most gets to be his guest. I don't think he understands that the other person just have to pay 50p and then they'll be allowed in anyway.
Right.
And then the other day he said, with some urgency, said, "Dad, I need the address for the RSPB," which I then found for him, and he wrote onto an envelope and had something he wanted to put in it. And he'd written an apology letter to a bird for skipping a meeting with it. So, I've got no idea what this was about, but he'd missed a meeting with a bird and he wanted to send a letter to this bird, care of the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds.
Oh, when he said he wanted to apologize, I thought maybe he'd accidentally trodden on a bird's foot or something. I didn't realise that there was something a bit more lateral, like not so real about it. Like, I'm assuming he didn't have a meeting. I mean, don't get me wrong. Maybe he did have a meeting with a bird.
I don't know.
Maybe he did. Sorry.
The reason I mention all this is, as I am constantly indulging his whims and trying to make sure that his childhood is full of wonder, I've then been out and bought 3 bird feeders for our backyard.
You've got the same amount as me now.
Have you got 3, have you?
Yeah, and I remember saying I thought it was a bit extreme, and I still think it is.
Well, I got one which... so there's 3 different types of bird feeders from what I could see, RSPB-approved ones.
Mm.
One is for peanutty type food.
Yeah.
One has got some kind of contraption where it drops down through a little hole.
Right.
And then the other one is fat balls.
Okay, yeah.
So I had to make sure that we got one of each. So I put that up on Friday, I think. Do you know how many birds I've seen in our garden since then?
I'm guessing none.
Not a single one.
Yeah. It does take time.
How long?
You have to wait maybe 4 years. Honestly, it takes ages. So, like we've had ours up for about 2 years, and they're only starting to come now. I'm not even exaggerating.
What is wrong?
It's like getting a new shop in town. They don't have like local newspapers. They don't have sandwich boards. They don't have email. They don't know when there's a new shop in town. I feel they've like just got word of mouth.
I feel like someone who had a dream of opening a restaurant and they're a really good cook, and then they sort of put all their effort and money and dreams into opening this restaurant, and then nobody's coming to it.
It is a bit like that. It is. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then Jean keeps saying, like, why don't the birds like our garden, Daddy?
Oh, no.
And I think it's something to do with me.
They don't like you. Is that
what
you're
thinking? Well, there's that expression, you could charm the birds from the trees. I think I'm the opposite of that.
You've charmed them away.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nothing. No, honestly, it just takes time.
I'm the opposite of St. Francis of Assisi. It's like our garden is a place where, you know, where something terrible happens, like a battlefield or Chernobyl, and then the wildlife stays away from for years. I feel like our little back garden is like that, but it's difficult to explain that to a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's healthy for him to have a sense of melancholy and disappointment.
They'll come.
Maybe you could send a letter to the birds, care of the RSPB.
Yes, and then
or maybe the birds
know.
Are holding a grudge against him for skipping this appointment.
Well, that's probably at that meeting. Yeah. How dare he?
Yeah. All right, Annabelle, Quandary Corner at the Glapp Clinic here in Problematic. From whom is the first one?
First one is from Mark. I kindly request your definitive stance on the following related quandaries. Are people pushing prams or buggies in the street with young children in them allowed to wear headphones? And secondly, are people, me, allowed to judge them for doing so? For context, I'm not a parent or guardian of a child, but I do have a young dog, and for at least the first 2 years of his life, I could not bring myself to wear earphones while walking down the street together out of fear of looking inattentive to his needs to passers-by. Whenever I see someone using headphones while in the care of a child, I cannot stop myself from thinking, selfish, terrible parent. Even though I know that this walk could be their only moment of peace in the day to enjoy some comforting music or a podcast. Or perhaps they're just pretending to listen to something so other people with prams won't stop and talk to them. Or they could be making an important hands-free call about the parent's funeral they need to organise. I know all of this is possible, and I will never know the life of these other people. But still, the voice in my head is judging them harshly. Is this okay? Please help.
Oh, this is really good. So I don't think I've ever once worn headphones whilst walking a dog.
No. Oh, what?
Yeah.
You've never worn them while walking a dog?
No, because I think it's disrespectful to the dog.
See, I chuckled a bit at Mark for how sweet he was for thinking that. I don't think I've ever walked the dog and not worn headphones.
No, because I want to be in the moment with the dog. But then I'm thinking back to when Jean was in the pram. I think if he was sleeping, I'd wear headphones, but I wouldn't ever wear them any other time, I don't think. And I used to have him facing me, so I would see if he woke up. I wasn't aware that people would be judging me for wearing headphones when the baby was asleep.
Yeah, if they're asleep and facing you, that it's absolutely fine to listen to something, because you're doing a lot of walk, like, especially if you've got a child that will only sleep in the pram in the day, you're doing a lot of walking around the streets of the pram.
Yeah.
So you can use this time for podcasts, audiobooks, dramas, anything like that. So I think that's totally fine. I think until they can talk, I think it's fine to wear them.
I don't know.
Maybe just one ear. I think
maybe
it's
one
fine.
Ear. I think I could. I wouldn't judge you for one ear, but I think if your kid was babbling away and you would like listen to something on headphones, I think be in the moment with you. I mean, I think, you know, what I really think is whatever you need to get you through, just do it. But I think like it's the same principle as the dog. For me, when the child is awake, I want to be in the moment with the child. But if it's asleep, I don't see any reason not to wear headphones.
Yeah, I think if it's asleep, totally fine.
God, I remember like walking around for hours listening to Emmy the Great's album, whatever that would have been, that came out in 2016 or 2017.
And regarding whether you're allowed to judge, If it's in your own head, you do you.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever gets you through the day, because judging can be it's great fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. As long as you're not letting it show in your face.
No.
You do whatever you want.
The amount of people who say to me, you know, something I really like about you is you're just not, you know, you're not a judgmental person. And I think, oh, I'm definitely not outwardly a judgmental person. I pride myself on that. I pride myself on being perceived as not judgmental. But I'm walking around judging all the time.
Yeah, just keep it to myself.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's move on to Kendall. I apologise in advance for the detail about bodily functions, but unfortunately it is part of the story. I live in an apartment building which has maintenance services when something needs to be fixed. Recently, I noticed that my shower was dripping, so I put in a request to have maintenance come and take a look. I dread making these requests. From the minute you put the request to the time they show up to complete it, you have no idea when they'll be coming. It could be the same day, it could be 2 to 3 days, it could be a week. There is no window, no estimate, no warning, nothing. They show up at your door, knock, and if no one answers, they let themselves in. The fastest showers I've ever taken in my life have happened when I've had an open maintenance request. So I put in my request to have the shower fixed and waited. The next morning, I needed to take my dog for a walk. I silently hoped that they would show up and fix the shower whilst I was gone, thus avoiding any social interaction at all. Here's where the gross part comes into it. So if anyone is squeamish, now is a good time to skip. My dog has a medical condition which requires her to take medicine to soften her stool. Because of this, she can sometimes have messy poops. Yes, it's gross, but it's not a big deal, as it's easy enough for me to stick her in the sink and wash her off. Well, at the end of a walk, she had a messy poop, which would require some cleaning. At least it's the end of our walk, I thought. I'll just clean her up right when we get to the apartment. I rolled up my sleeves and picked her up so that her butt was on my arm and not my clothes. I can tolerate it for the walk up the stairs and wash myself off when we get back. I reached the top of the stairs, looking forward to getting us all cleaned up, when I saw it. The maintenance cart was sitting right outside my door, like a sick joke. I don't know what to do. I'm holding a dog that is literally dripping poo down my arm, and there is a stranger in my apartment. Of course, like any good drifter, I decide to avoid the uncomfortable social situation. I end up walking aimlessly around the complex, trying not to jostle any of the poo, while creepily peeking at my own apartment from around the corner, hoping the cart would be gone. After 15 minutes of me looking like the weirdest and most incompetent burglar ever, the cart had disappeared and I was finally able to sneak back into my own apartment and wash us both off. So here's my quandary. Is it okay to go into your own apartment when the maintenance people are already there? Does urgently having to clean a dog's butt make it more or less acceptable?
I think it makes it more acceptable, but I would not want to be doing the explaining, because it's the sort of thing that I'd expect somebody to be completely sympathetic towards, and yet something in the telling of it would mean they looked at me with a completely blank expression.
Could you go into a bathroom where someone is fixing the shower and wash your dog's bum in the sink and your arm of dog poo? I don't know if I could. I think I'd be...
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Yeah,
That is difficult for me, I think. I would struggle with that, because then you would feel the need to explain it.
That would go poorly.
Yeah. And then there's always the chance that, because if they're fixing the shower, they've had to turn the water off anyway. So, yeah. Oh, this is just terribly, terribly stressful.
So what do you do then?
I think the only thing you can do is what she did. And she got lucky that it was only 15 minutes, because that could have taken much longer. Very lucky. Maybe in the unlikely event this ever happens again to anybody, you could take out some kind of cleaning kit with you on the off chance, so that you could go to a dark alley and get some wet wipes out, for example, and a bottle of water. That's my only solution, apart from what she did.
Okay. Well, I think that'll have to do then.
Okay, fine.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner, or you have a story for us, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey. Nearly called her Kim Grainy then.
New one.
It's like the low resolution Kim Rainey. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And I thought we could finish this week with a little sing-song. Come on, Annabelle. Aruba, Jamaica. Oh, I want to take you to Bermuda. No?
Oh, okay, I can't remember it now. Hey.
All right, podication time. And this comes from Jack McMorrow. Bing bong. Jack McMorrow to reception, please. Good old Jack.
Hello.
McMorrow. Hello, Jack. Dear Jeff and Annabelle, can I get this podication request on the 30th of March episode? Because on the 31st of March, I will be a few thousand metres in the air. Hopefully, I'll be on a plane, but I believe I can fly. This is great news. I think I know where this is going, Jack. This is the much-delayed trip across the big water, isn't it? Jack says, I want to thank you for helping keep me entertained during the time I was recovering from my surgery on the ankle, which was broken in three places. Now I use a walker until my strength in my ankle is back. I'm guessing that'll take ages. Unfortunately, I now have a bunch of metal in my leg and I'm worried it'll set the X-ray machine at the security at Heathrow. I'm sure it will. I feel that there should be some kind of grounds for getting to the front of the queue, although being a drifter, would you want to ask? Probably not.
No.
I was asked if I can't put this holiday off for a while. I instantly refused, as this was meant to be in August 2020 and March 2021. For whatever it's worth, I am not looking for a delay after 17 months, and then tack on the 7 months before when I booked it. Anyway, can you podcast the episode to the incredibly patient people at my travel agents, MVP Travel, the other fans I'll be seeing WrestleMania with, and my boss for giving me the time off, please. Witness the fitness of the reflection of perfection. So says Jack McMorrow. Jack, I'm so pleased that you're finally getting to do this.
Yes, so exciting.
You've had a time of it. I mean, everyone's had a time of it, but I mean, you've had all your stuff to be dealing with as well. And I know how much you've been looking forward to this. And although I don't personally relate with the love of wrestling, I think maybe it's something that lies ahead for me.
Maybe, you never know.
Life is long. And you have different passions at different times. And I've never had my click with WWE wrestling. I mean, I liked a bit of Les Kellett and Kendo Nagasaki, etc. back in the day. Mm. But maybe it's ahead of me.
Maybe it's like it can be your nana thing. Because like nanas often get into wrestling,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. Maybe one day I will smell what The Rock is cooking. Like my brother's passion for it will eventually infect me. I think that was maybe an outdated reference. I think The Rock has left that world behind, hasn't he?
Right, okay. So for Hollywood, no one should use that.
And
yeah.
A future presidency. Maybe Jack should have, now that The Rock doesn't use that catchphrase anymore, maybe Jack could have, can you smell what Jack is cooking?
It could be his. If it's not being used, if it's free, take it.
Absolutely. Jack, have a marvellous time.
Yes.
It is thoroughly deserved. And there we go. The latest edition of the podcast, dedicated to Jack McMorrow. If you would like one dedicating to you, it's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.